Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Suzlon Energy Limited Q2 FY25 earnings conference call. During this call, the company management may make certain statements that reflect their outlook for the future, which could be construed as forward-looking statements. These statements are based on management's current expectations and are associated with uncertainties and risks, as detailed in the annual report. Actual results may differ, so these statements should be reviewed in conjunction with the risks the company faces. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and if you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. We will begin the opening remarks followed by a Q&A session. To be fair to others, we kindly request each participant to ask no more than two or three questions. From the management, we have with us Mr. J.P. Chalasani, Group CEO, and Mr. Himanshu Mody, Group CFO. Over to you, J.P. Chalasani, sir. Thank you.
Good evening. We appreciate you joining us for Q2 FY25 earnings call. At the outset, let me apologize for delay by about eight, nine minutes. That's because we had some issue with the connectivity. Extremely sorry about that. We never wanted to start a call late. We hope you have had a chance to review the results we published today. Again, apologies that I think you had a limited time before you could actually see the results. Maybe we will work next quarter onwards, I guess, and ensure that you have sufficient time before we have this interaction so that we can have a meaningful interaction. We will now provide a brief overview of our Q2 FY25 performance and our outlook for the full year. After that, we'll open the floor for questions. Let me begin with the key developments of the quarter gone by. We secured the largest-ever single order in the Indian wind industry from NTPC Green for 1.166 gigawatts. This project utilizes a plug-and-play approach with the pipeline for land and power allocation within NTPC scope. Our order book now exceeds 5 gigawatts, an unparalleled achievement in the industry. The entire order book consists of firm orders, as we disclose orders only when they are backed by the financial commitments. Suzlon acquired Renom, marking a pivotal entry into the multi-brand O&M sector and unlocking significant growth potential in this area. This strategic move capitalizes on Renom's strong ISP market position and Suzlon's expertise, positioning us to sustain substantially enhanced fleet size and profitability. Additionally, we successfully monetized the corporate office and non-core asset for 440 crore. On the execution front, Suzlon has now established itself as a supplier of choice for PSUs while also being a key partner for C&I customers. Our focus remains on pursuing quality orders with a higher value and better margins. Suzlon continues its growth trajectory with deliveries of 256 megawatts in quarter two, up from 132 megawatts last year. This represents the highest delivery for the second quarter in the last 7 years, accomplished despite severe monsoon disruptions in Gujarat and other parts of the country. Robust order book of 4.7 gigawatts as of 30 September and over 5 gigawatts as we speak now. Sorry, 4.7 gigawatts was specific to S144, make it as a testament of superior technology and customer confidence in Suzlon. This also reverberates with 29 years of proven track record with 32% market share on installed base. The industry commissioned approximately 1,476 megawatts in the first half of this financial year, which is below expectations on account of monsoon disruptions. However, we estimate that a significant number of turbines are in the pre-commissioning phase and will be completed in H2 of FY25. Our OMS business continues to do well with 15 gigawatt capacity in India, with machine availability ensured above 96%. Our top priority remains timely execution of our robust order book while upholding the highest standards of quality and ESG. We believe India's renewable energy journey is just starting, with power demand to remain robust on account of rapid industrialization, urbanization, e-mobility, etc., and we are poised to lead this transformation in sustainable solutions for the future. Our expectation is that wind installations will be around 5 gigawatts for this financial year, FY25, 6 or 7 gigawatts for FY26, and then increase to anywhere between 9 to 10 gigawatts yearly. Our pioneering business model of end-to-end offerings for wind energy value chain, fully integrated supply chain, track record of project execution, and best-in-class service cannot be easily replicated, which provides us with a strong competitive edge. I would now like to invite Manju to take you through the financial performance. Manju, over to you.
Thank you, JPC sir, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I would be using slide numbers 17 to 25 of our investor presentation, which has now been uploaded on our website, www.suzlon.com, as a reference point for my discussion during this presentation. The largest single order of 1.1 gigawatt from NTPC is a testament to Suzlon's resurgence as a market leader in the PSU segment. With the largest ever order book of 5.1 gigawatt, we now have clear visibility of the orders that need to be tentatively executed over the next 18 to 24 months. The acquisition of Renom has added to the significantly to our fleet strength of close to 2.9 gigawatts across wind, BOP and solar segments. On the P&L front for Q2 FY25, Suzlon continues its exponential growth trajectory with consolidated revenue showing robust growth of 48% on a year-on-year basis, reaching 2,093 crore in Q2 FY25 compared to 1,417 crore in Q2 FY24. EBITDA has also grown by 31% to 294 crores in Q2 FY25, up from 225 crores in Q2 FY24. Our EBITDA margin remains strong at 14.1%. The small decrease in EBITDA margin as compared to Q2 FY24 in percentage terms is largely because we are focused in incurring investments in organizational build-up, technological investments, and a substantial ramp-up in capacity for future deliveries in the upcoming quarters. These decisive investments are set to significantly enhance our competitiveness, drive efficiency, and elevate profitability to new heights. Rise in employee costs is also attributable to non-cash provisions of about 32 crores on account of ESOPs that were granted to employees. PAT for Q2 FY25 increased by 96% to 201 crore on a year-on-year basis. On a quarter-on-quarter comparison, manpower costs have increased by 46 crores, mainly due to on account of the ESOP charge of 32 crores in this quarter, plus the annual increments for which we follow the July to June cycle every year. The rise in other operating items from outsourced manpower, which is variable in nature, production ramp-up expenses, cost for transformation projects, and certain one-time expenses for transactions, and the director remuneration that was paid out in September account for all future growth trajectory. The small increase in finance costs is largely attributable to processing fees paid to lenders for securing working capital against the NTPC project. A small increase due to increase in debt as a result of the Renom consolidation, and lease rental expenses on the One Earth property as a result of its divestment. We are pleased to report our balance sheet as of September 24, which demonstrates a position of strength with strong consolidated net worth at 4,495 crores and a net cash position of 1,277 crores as of September 24. Suzlon is now well positioned to seize the multi-decade opportunity in India's energy transition, equipped with the largest ever order book and a strong pipeline of projects under discussion, a fortified financial position with the optimized cost structure, our best-in-class products backed by our in-house R&D team, a well-prepared and lubricated supply chain, renewed confidence from all stakeholders, and a strong management bench strength, which is set to deliver the results. The comprehensive approach positions us to capitalize us on emerging opportunities and drive sustainable growth. With that, I'd like to conclude my presentation and open the floor to any questions that the callers may have. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles.
आपको क्वेश्चन क्यों दिखेगा? हाँ देख, हाँ देखो ना, फुल स्क्रीन पे जाओ।
Our first question comes from Ganesh.
Hello, how are you, brother?
Please go ahead.
Yeah, please go ahead.
Ganesh, your line is unmuted. Please proceed with your question.
Came across a press money control discussion, where the management said they wanted to get into the non-wind sectors as well, particularly solar. I just want to check what is the management's current thought process around this.
I have no idea about what written in the money control, because we never spoke about getting into solar, and they've been on record always saying that we would remain in our core business, and anything connected with that is what we'll keep doing it. At this stage, we have. But at the same time, we said that if there is any client who wants us to do the full project, which includes solar and wind component, we are willing to take up that up, job and do for the client, because they want one single supplier. But till now, we have not got any such request. There is no such contract of hybrid project given to us. So therefore, we getting into solar at this stage doesn't exist.
Got it. Thank you so much, sir. That's all from me.
Thank you. The next question comes from Shweta Dixit from Systematics Group. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Hi, my question is industry specific. As you mentioned in the initial comments, that we're looking at a 5 gigawatt of installation this year. That number was 3.3 gigawatt last year. But if we look at the first half of this fiscal, the capacity installation was only 1.5 gigawatt, which was 2.2 gigawatt same period last year. What gives us confidence that in the second half it will be sufficient to reach the 5 gigawatt number? And what, in your opinion, is the bottleneck here which can, you know, stop us from achieving that number?
I think there is the reason why we still continue to feel that it would be closer to 5 gigawatts this financial year. While I completely agree that it is 1476 in the H1, which is less than the H1 of last year, but there are significant amount of turbines supplied and erected but not commissioned and are on the ground. Even we did some analysis of end of quarter one. I'm not talking about end of quarter two, because end of quarter two we still need to get the data. It still was 2.8 gigawatts of turbines are in different stages, whether they are at site or partly erected or erected. Even if we take our own case, while we reported 201 megawatt as commissioned in H1, there is 170 megawatt which is erected and ready for commissioning. Like last time also we said some capacity was meaning that is either because of substation not being ready or the aggregate system in some other scope. Plus also let's understand that the reason for lower installations in quarter two was significantly because of monsoon. This time it was very heavy in Gujarat, we couldn't, not even in Gujarat, even Karnataka, different places there have been significant impact. Considering that is past, considering that the turbines have been supplied and many places it has been erected and then ready for commissioning for different reasons, we still believe that H2 would be significantly higher than H1, and we are pretty confident that anywhere north of 4.5, not 5, would definitely get commissioned this year.
Okay, thank you, sir. I'll follow up with the question later.
Thank you. The next question comes from Anupam Goswami from SUD Life. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Sir, my question is on the what sort of capacity do we hold right now to execute annual orders? And going forward, what sort of a gross margin are we looking at? Even this quarter, the gross margin was a little dip. So this year and going forward, what sort of gross margin we should we look at?
Okay.
Yeah. So, hi, we're looking at a capacity, as you can see in our IR deck, currently it's about 3.1 GW, which we are now ramped up to about 4.5 GW, across all components of tower, blade, and nacelle. So that's what our manufacturing capacity on a per annum basis would be. We are in the phase-wise, we're looking at the ramp up to 4.5, and by the end of this financial year, we would have completed that expansion exercise. So far as margin expansion is concerned, one thing I've repeatedly said on all calls, when you look at consolidated margins, there certainly will be a dip because as the WTG business keeps growing in size, which is a lower margin business as compared to the services business, the consolidated margin will definitely see a dip because of the larger increase of business in a smaller margin business. However, for that reason, you need to look at the margin profiling of both WTG and OMS businesses separately, and we continue to maintain that the WTG gross margin will be in the mid- to late teens, whereas the OMS business gross margin will be about 65%.
Sir, won't our service business also increase as the WTG business increases? So, and what sort of percentage should we look at? I mean, of all the installation of WTG, what sort of percentage will come in the service segment?
So every single WTG that we sell, we also have a services contract to back up. We don't sell any WTG without a services contract. That's number one. The services business revenue, however, kicks in only after completion of the third anniversary of commissioning of the turbine, because first 3 years of the turbine are free, which is covered under the warranty period, which is included in the sales price. So with the 3-year lag, the revenue for services of the commissioned turbine will kick in.
Except in contracts like NTPC, where it kicks in right from day one.
Yeah.
Sir, any ballpark, like what sort of service revenue comes, let's say, for 1 MW or 10 MW WTG sold?
I think you can do the math, Anupam. I mean, our services business broadly is about close to 1,900 crore in top line for a 15 GW fleet. So, I'd let you do the math there.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir. I'll join back in the queue.
Thank you. The next question comes from Deepesh Agarwal from UTI AMC. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Sir, my first question is, if I look at the contribution in WTG segment, this quarter seems to be on a lower side versus last seven, eight quarters. Was there any extra cost or the ESOP cost is resulting in this decline?
So Deepesh, ESOP cost will not be there in the contribution margin. Of course, ESOP cost will be there in the EBITDA. As we've maintained that the WTG, if you're talking gross margin, gross margins will be in the late teens to early twenties. Of course, the slight percentage fluctuation here and there would be on account of commodity prices or some of the COGS items that we've purchased. But, I mean, there's no dramatic movement in the COG percentage for the WTG business from a contribution margin perspective.
Sure. And, the 5.1 GW order book, which we have, doesn't have any long-term or long gestation kind of a contract, which effectively means, ideally, everything should be getting executed in next 18-20 months, subject to any delays.
Yeah. We, as I said in my opening comments, we don't announce any framework agreement as an order book. Okay? We just announce the projects which are likely to happen and where it's a confirmed schedule, and then there is an advance paid, is what we announce. And therefore, this entire 5.1 GW, as Himanshu said in his opening comments, should get completed in the next 18-24 months.
Understood. And, sir, on similar lines, I think you were also looking at ramping up the production capacity in terms of debottlenecking at the Daman and also restarting the Pondicherry plant. Where are we in that stage?
We are now, Pondicherry, we already started production there. As Himanshu mentioned for the previous question, that we will reach gradually from now onwards to 4.5 gigawatt before this year ends. In all segments, whether it is tower or blade or the nacelle. So we should, before we start the next financial year, we would have a manufacturing capacity of 4.5 gigawatts. We should be gradually ramped up from now to the end of March. It's not that everything is going to happen at the end of March. Pondicherry is already started.
Sure.
It's in the ramping up stage now.
Thank you and happy Diwali.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from Pramod, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hi, go ahead, please.
I would like to know, is there any plan to get into energy storage domain by acquiring any other company?
At this stage, if you ask me at this instant, no. But having said that, you know, as we move ahead, we would explore different opportunities from time to time, which is closer to our business, what we do. As long as we remain within the RE business, if it's going to enhance our core business, obviously we will look at it. But right now, there is no such proposal. But I'm not saying outrightly no. So these are for the future. Right now, we're in a stage of consolidating our core business, quarter on quarter basis. And once we do that in the next couple of quarters, then obviously we would look at other opportunities for growing around our core.
Okay, thank you. So did we add the Renom revenue in this quarterly result or is not included?
Yes, we've added, we've consolidated Renom on a line-by-line basis. Although for this quarter, it has been for about a 25-day period. I mean, as you know, the acquisition got consummated in the first week of September. So the line-by-line consolidation for a proportionate time period is only for about 25 days.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question comes from Amit Binde from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
I just want to understand the kind of books that we
sorry to interrupt. Mr. Binde, you're sounding a lot soft. So if you can...
Is it better now?
Much better.
Yeah. Okay, thanks. Yeah.
No, you continue to be soft, but a little louder. Don't be harsh on us.
Yeah. So, sir, I just wanted to understand the kind of one-offs that we have had because of the multiple transactions, the Renom acquisition and the one-off sale that could be a part of the other expenses. And also, how much is the lease expense related cost in the other expense and the interest cost?
So, I'll answer your second question first. So there will be when we divested One Earth in a sale and leaseback transaction, we confirmed that there will be an approximate 4 crore per month charge on account of the One Earth transaction in the P&L. Of course, that is on a gross basis. We also have rights to sublease the premises. So that subleasing efforts have already started, which would, of course, as in when we get third-party rentals, the 4 crore expense will keep coming down. But as of now, the worst case you have to assume is 4 crore monthly P&L charge. And there are no significant, while there are some one-off cost items on acquisition of Renom and One Earth transactions, but those are not significant. The one-off items that we are incurring are largely related to a future capacity expansion, incurring some of our IT expenditure, ramping up SAP, we're implementing S/4HANA, for which, there are certain one-off costs which are, for the long-term benefit of the organization, but no significant one-off costs on the Renom or One Earth transactions.
Right, got that. Another question that I had was, as you mentioned in the previous question, that the service contract for NTPC would start from the first day itself. So on that note, would the realization per megawatt for the WDG be lower? Because right now when you have around 5.8 crores per megawatt on your WDG, that's including the 3-year free service period. So would NTPC have different terms and different pricing?
No.
So you're saying that despite this 3-year warranty period not being there, our per megawatt realization could be in the same range of 5.8 to 6?
Yes, yes. This is a competitive bidding and they have a different terms. Obviously, it will be different pricing. PSU will be different pricing within compared to what you normally do with others.
Right. Got that. Yeah, got that, sir. Those were my questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants, you may press star and 1 to ask a question. The next question comes from Shubhadeep Mitra from Nuvama. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir, and thank you for the opportunity. I'm sorry, I had got disconnected from the call, so I'm not sure if my question is a repeat. So what I wanted to understand is, firstly, given that you have such a strong order book and it is executable over the next 18 to 24 months, would I be right in assuming that you would roughly hit a run rate of 2 to 2.5 gigawatt per annum kind of execution, or will it scale up over a period of time and it will be more bulky towards the latter half?
Okay, we are quite smart. Okay. So we know that we said 5.1 gigawatt and I also confirmed that we will be doing this in 18 to 24 months. So you have the answer in your question. And I agree to the assumptions what you're making without committing what are the assumptions you're making.
And just to add, I mean, of course, it's not that 5.1 stops there. There is an active order pipeline also that is in discussion.
There is a significant pipeline of orders which we are discussing, which you will keep seeing us announcing it. So therefore, we expect whatever the trend we started each of the quarters, we are been saying that at the end of the quarter, this is the highest ever order book we have, closing order book, and I'm pretty confident we'll continue to do that, at least for a few more quarters. At least for next 2 quarters, we continue to say that this is the highest closing order. It's not that it's going to stop at 5.1. We are pretty sure about that, looking at various opportunities, which we are at different stages of discussion. I don't want to put a number to that, but yes, but I can confirm to you that the next time when we talk, I will again say that this is the highest closing order book we ever had.
Understood. No, that's very clear. My question is actually more, I think the demand piece is amply clear to all of us who track the sector that, you know, we are looking at a very large wave of ordering that's come back and is likely to stay for some time. But in terms of the supply side, in terms of your own ramp up of capacities, what's the progress there? Are you looking at significantly ramping up your annual execution capability? Any particular, you know, targets that you have over there?
So Deep, maybe that's a question you missed, but anyway, before I come to the capacity, let me tell you that even today, compared to what we are supplying, okay, 270 and 256 megawatts in quarter one and quarter two, our capacity to supply is much, much, much more. Okay? Today, it is not the capacity of manufacturing which is constraining us from supplying. It is the projects being ready to offtake the supplies is what is the constraint. Okay? So that is what is defining. But moving ahead, because there is an advanced action of land being taken by various clients, including us. For example, like NTPC itself, we said that they already awarded the land and BOP contracts much in advance. So therefore, these sites being much better safe. We expect this problem starting from Q3, Q4, especially next year, significantly reduced. Therefore, that's the time when we will get tested for manufacturing capacity. Today, we're not tested. That is the reason which we said sometime back, we have already started ramp up of our capacity, and by progressively by March 25, we would be at 4.5 gigawatts of capacity. And in all three segments, whether it's the plates or the tower or the nacelle, that's the capacity we will reach. Depending upon what order book will hit at March 25, we would then decide, say, in a TCS, and also looking at 2 to 3 years ahead, we would look at what further capacity expansion is required. Otherwise, 4.5 gigawatt is committed, and we will achieve that by end of this year.
Understood. And this, a large component of this increase to 4.5, would it also come from the Pondicherry facility getting reinstated?
Yeah, there are, as far as the NACL is concerned, one is Pondicherry, and second is that the additional facilities what we're providing at Daman, even Daman plant capacity itself is significantly going to go up. So, plus the Pondicherry, which I said sometime back, we already started, ramp up is in the process now. Those two will add to our this capacity, plus the blades, additional lines getting commissioned from now to then, plus the cycle times getting improved for 3 megawatt blades. So that capacity will ramp up. And the tower, we met, we have our own capacity, we met every single tower supplier together here in our office. I have said that when you are confident you are expanding your capacity for the blades and nacelles, we are committed to increase our capacity. We said, please tell us how much you want, we will supply the towers. It's not an issue.
Understood. And so lastly, on margins, any particular reason why this particular quarter's margins are slightly on the weaker side, or is it more of a timing issue and you expect things to get better?
No, so again, Subhadeep, I don't know why you think it's on the lower side. Of course, if you're looking at console, it will continue to be lower as the WTG business increases in the overall mix of the business between WTG and OMS. But other than that, really there is not much of a swing in margin. It remains to be steady. If you look at the WTG business, it is close to about 22%, and the OMS business continues at about 67%.
Understood. That's it from my side. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question comes from Adirish Mehta from Motilal Oswal Asset Management Company. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Am I audible?
Yeah, you are.
Yes, sir. So, just wanted to understand, you know, whatever investments we have done in terms of cost, where we are seeing some marginal decline in margins. Can you quantify how that can, you know, increase our competitive positioning, or how that can lead to higher growth? If you can spend some more time explaining that.
So, Adesh, if you look at, you know, the cost items, you know, roughly, if you look at the operating cost, you know, there has been an increase, as I said, on IT expenditure, which, you know, we've maintained that will be, we'll be incurring those costs. Of course, I'm leaving ESOP aside because that's why it's a P&L charge, but it's a cost item nonetheless, and we will see that ESOP cost being incurred till FY26, you know, of course, that is for the employee retention, motivation, whichever way you look at it. And in addition to that, the administrative costs or employee costs, the way to look at it is that we're incurring those costs in Q2 for the future ramp up of meeting higher capacity. So is the cost representative of the organization delivering 256 megawatts RR? The answer is no. You know, with the same cost, the organization can and is gearing up to deliver a much higher RR in the future quarters. So whilst it is difficult for me to quantify in rupees crores for you, but nonetheless, let me suffice it to say that margins going forward, and I'm talking margins at the EBITDA level for the WTG business or for the OMS business, will definitely not get compromised. So when you look at the WTG business EBITDA margins today, we are close to about 7%. That 7% EBITDA margin will only increase northwards as we go and increase our volumes for deliveries. And the 40% OMS EBITDA margins will also maintain the same trajectory of growth for sure.
And also, the people, we are all clear that you are seeing also the market. Today, the biggest challenge for renewable energy sector is the manpower. It's not hitting the right kind of people. Therefore, it is necessary for us when we're expanding significantly in terms of manufacturing, in terms of our project sites, and in terms of our OMS sites. So it's necessary for us to get talent, train them, keep them in position. So that is what we're doing it. And also the this is nothing to do with your question, but I think it could be mentioned in our media release. Looking at our current consolidation of the core business, what we've done in the last two to three quarters, now the order book being there, balance sheet having cleaned up, working capital has been tied up, the senior leadership completely in position, and not just in position, now they are got into the groove. So therefore, we're almost getting into the core business being on auto mode. That's why sometime back when we talked about storage and other things I was mentioning is, we thought that this is the right time we start looking at what next for us to do, what is the strategy. So first thing is we ourselves are the strengthening our strategy in the in-house strategy team, and we just hired the chief strategy officer. In addition to that, we also hired the one of the leading global management consultant to work along with us and tell us that, okay, while your core business is consolidatedly going, is there anything for you to do to increase the stakeholder value in future? So therefore, that section which we started, maybe it will take about anywhere between 4 to 6 months before we conclude saying that, okay, are there opportunities adjacent to what we are doing which can enhance the value of the core business as well as expand our business in the further areas. That's one thing which we're doing, and that's what is mentioned today by Mr. Girish Tantri in the media release as well. So that's another area which I thought, you know, we should tell you, which we missed in our opening comments. That will address some of the points what, you know, other questions coming in terms of storage, in terms of various other things. So we're also saying that when core business is getting stabilized, we also need to look at, you know, are there any risk-free ways of enhancing our position to be there and as a long-term player in the renewable energy sector.
Got it, sir. And I also wanted to understand that first half has been very peculiar for us in the sense that deliveries have been, you know, at least 2x the number of installations. So how long can this continue?
As I said some time back, there is a significant gap in the industry between the supplies versus COD. Okay? In fact, if you also analyze the actual commissioning, what happened in the quarter one, quarter two, also we've seen some extent analysis not completely done. In the quarter one, what was commissioned out of the 770 megawatt, close to 600 megawatt, was the turbines which got supplied in 21 and 22, year 21 and 22. Okay. So all this got stuck for different reasons. Now I think they're getting unblocked. Therefore, even today, the significant amount of turbines supplied on the ground are erected, ready for commissioning in various things. And my assumption is that as we keep moving forward, sometime back, you know, suddenly the volumes got stuck because of temperature issue that is getting resolved, and say people are also facing in terms of connectivity. Various reasons why there is a significant gap between supply capacity in the country versus COD. I think that would keep changing. We feel that Q3 onwards you'll see a difference in COD, gradually improving quarter on quarter.
Thank you, sir. Wish you all the best
for the sector.
Thank you, sir. Wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Sagar, can we take the next question, please?
Yes, thank you. The next question comes from Vikas Mukundan, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, sir. Nice numbers I see. I just see it, but I didn't have a chance to go through it. Two quick questions. One, have you taken into account Renom revenues in this?
Sorry, can you be a little louder?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, now we can hear you. Thank you.
I was asking, have you taken Renom numbers into this? Renom is now part of Suzlon, right? So Renom numbers also consolidated in this?
Yes, for 25 days of the quarter, we have taken it.
Okay. And second question is, we had a sale of real estate. So is the profit of that also taken into this?
No. No.
That's not been taken into this.
No.
And I see, sir, even though the numbers have gone up from 170 in Q1 to 256 in Q2 in terms of installation, commissioning, revenues have not bumped up much. Any reason?
So revenues have not bumped up because you have to see the RR also, the, which means the deliveries. What you're quoting is the commissioning numbers, but revenues are largely generated as a result of the deliveries that the company makes, which is 256 megawatts in this quarter, as against close to 270 in Q1.
Okay, thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Kitna hai bhai Q?
The next question comes from Manoj, who's an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Sudhanshu bhi hai kya?
Manoj, your line is unmuted. Please proceed with your question.
Sorry for that. I was on mute. I don't have any questions on the numbers because numbers are quite satisfying to me. The one thing I just wanted to understand on the R&D part. So currently we have, you know, S144 is a model, you know, which we are widely exporting. So is there any other turbines, you know, which is in R&D process, let's say for 5 megawatt? One is that. Another question is regarding, you know, apart from India, you know, are we doing any operations outside India? No, I just wanted to understand. We were doing it before, but not sure after COVID, you know, how is that?
On the second question, first on operations wise, as we do have a service business outside India even today, you know that we have significant turbine supplied earlier internationally. So some part of that remains with our service business. In fact, we are now aggressively working with what are the turbines we lost out earlier to get that. So the service business continues and we'll continue to grow the service business internationally outside India. On the turbine make, yes, today is S144 is what is significantly being produced. But as I mentioned in the previous calls, that the wind turbine business is the moment you roll out one model, your next model is already on the drawing board. So therefore, the next model is on the drawing board. And at the right point of time, we will be in the market with a new model without any delays.
Okay, and just one last question on the order front.
The right kind of turbine, right size of the turbine, I don't want to mention about the capacity, right kind of turbine, right size of the turbine, we would launch into the market when we feel that it's necessary that 3 megawatt is now got saturated.
Thank you so much for the information, provider. One just last question on the order front. Now, how much order, you know, that we can expect for this 25, you know, which is in pipeline? Any, could you give any tentative numbers on that?
I can only say, I will repeat only what I said, that every quarter you will hear one statement from me saying that this is the ever, this is the highest, ever highest the closing order book we will have it. So this is 5.1 now, what we're announcing. Next time when we talk, it will be more than that. I don't want to put a number to it because if I want to throw a number, I can also throw a big number, which is actually on the table. But that doesn't make any sense for throwing a number so much of a discussing. But I can tell you that there are significant, serious offers on the table, which are in the final stage of discussion. And our other book, as I said, that earlier also, that once it's finalized, contract is signed, and we receive the required down payment, then only we'll announce to the market. No framework, no nothing else with them. But yes, I don't want to put a number to it, but there are significant others which we're discussing at this stage with different clients. Yes, as we also know that there are public sector tenders out there, even NTPC tender is out for the next one in Karnataka. So there are quite a few public sector tenders as well.
Great, great. Thank you. Thank you so much for the information. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Sudhanshu Bansal from JM Financial Limited. Please go ahead. Sudhanshu, your line is unmuted. Please proceed with your question.
Hello. Good evening, sir. I have the two questions. One is, how do you see the competitive intensity emerging as some of the Chinese players and Indian players both are becoming aggressive in the Indian market? Second is, with respect to like SE4, do we have any plan for growth in this particular business beyond our WTG business, sir? Thank you.
The first one, Sudhanshu, obviously, we never wish away the competition. Competition is there, will be there, it will get intensified further. We all know that there are more and more players coming from outside. But you are the one who has been tracking the sector for ages. You know that even in FY17, when we were doing a significant amount of turbine supply, also we had a tough competition, but that time it was the European players and the American company. Now that has changed to the other companies. So competition has always been there and would continue to be there. We are absolutely conscious about that, and we need to be, we know that we need to be completely prepared and constantly keep sharpening our model, reducing our costs, but not, I again repeat that we will not compromise on our margins when we take our orders. So we will we'll sharpen our costs, we will do different aspects of it, we will face the competition, but competition will be there. We're not wishing away the competition. We are watching it every day. There are not just the current players, we know that there will be more players coming in. We are not losing our sleep on that, but we are conscious and we are prepared for the competition. So, and as far as the SE4 is concerned, yes, now two things we are doing today. While we continue to do whatever we've been doing in the wind sector, wind segment, in fact, the domestically, every single competition of ours is more or less a client for SE4. What we are doing now is two things. One is we are doing geographical expansion, looking at more and more exports. There is significant opportunities. And the second portion, second part of it is the getting into non-wind segment. We already received a few orders, which will materialize into revenue maybe in next 4 to 5 months. Because in SE4, what happens is whenever the order comes, you develop that model, it takes time before we start producing. So it's our journey is towards that of non-wind, and there's a good amount of potential for that for non-wind and exports both.
Okay, in the non-wind sector, which area? Auto? Like EV, auto, like all what?
Non-wind sector is in terms of bearings for different industries as far as the forging is concerned. In the foundries, we're looking at the defense sector, railway sector, and also maybe the indirectly a non-wind sort of a thing. We don't know, they'll use these things in different places, like a smaller gearbox and everything for them, the castings. So some of them might get into wind, some of them might get into non-wind sector.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next follow-up question comes from Amit Binde from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. I was just going through the industry slide in the VPD. There you have mentioned that C&I sector requires 78 gigawatt of renewable. I think earlier, almost 6 months ago, we were talking about 15-20 gigawatts. So what in your assumption has changed so much that it went from 15-20 expectation to 78? That's one. And secondly, the next line says 35 gigawatt plus wind pipeline of central state utilities, etc. So what is the safe timeline that we should assume that once the ordering has happened and IPPs have won the bid, and the timeline to place the order for any of the wind OEMs?
Yeah. On the C&I segment, we mentioned the source there. ICRA report, which is what we picked up that number from. They have done the research and predicted that. And as far as the bidding is concerned, as we know, as we speak itself, that forget about what is awarded and waiting for the PPAs. There is about 23 gigawatts of 50% of it is one portion of the auction done. The reverse has to happen, and another 11.5 gigawatt or so where the bids are announced, but which is to be submitted. But having said that, if you look at our mix of orders, which we are given in our presentation, that 75% of our order book is from C&I and public sector. Only about 24% or so is from the bid PPAs. Our dependence on bid PPAs is much less compared to the market. It's predominantly C&I and the public sector. And also just to clarify that 78 gigawatts is for the entire renewables, not just for the wind.
Right, okay, yeah. So probably, sorry, I got confused on that one, sorry. All right. Thanks for the clarification. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from Johnson. Sorry, the next question comes from Marcel, who's an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah. My question is first regarding that although in this quarter, our turnover has gone up by almost about 80 crore something, but 65 crore is the increase in other expenses. So why it has increased so steeply, and what action are you going to take to control this cost so that like this kind of hype is not there in the other expenses in the coming quarters?
So, Marcelji, as we explained earlier, some of these costs are one-time in nature, incurring one-time for long-term benefit of the organization, like implementation of SAP S/4HANA module, IT expenses, which is building a more robust organization for the future. And there is other expenses like ESOP, which is a P&L charge, but a non-cash cost. And that will continue till FY26. Having said that, even if the expenses are increasing, the margins for both the businesses, the WTG business and the OMS business, we will beat the past trends in terms of percentage margin on both the businesses.
Okay. So second question means like although our order book has a significant increase from about 1.5 gigawatt to 2 gigawatt to about 5.1, that's a very good thing. But the execution has not taken the pace yet. In this quarter also, we have just executed, delivered only 256 megawatts. So what's your plan or what's your roadmap that how many megawatts like will be able to deliver within the next 6 months, and what about the next year? So what is your plan for that? How this 5.1 is going to execute, number one. Number two, the NTPC order, when we start executed, and what will be its quarterly spread, for example?
On the supplies, I answered sometime back, the 256 gigawatts is because of offtake by the projects, not by the manufacturing capacity. We could have actually easily supplied double of that capacity in Q2. Okay, close to 600 megawatts easily we could have supplied. But the projects are not ready to offtake, and also the Q2 being significantly impacted because of cyclone. The transportation logistics and the sites got inundated, they were unable to unload, there were various other factors. So therefore, order book is one, and second is the supply is the second factor. I also mentioned sometime back, this is likely to ease out now, because the NTPC, I mentioned that their land is separate and their readiness is much better to take the supply, and various other places, the bottlenecks are getting removed. So therefore, as we keep moving quarter to quarter, the supplies would increase, because projects will be able to offtake. As far as we are concerned, we can supply, as you said, we would reach a capacity of 4.5 gigawatts to supply by March of this year. Supply is not a constraint. It's a question of projects offtaking it.
No, sir, I'm not talking about the constraint. I'm just, I mean that how much you will be able to deliver because of the readiness of this project or the land or whatever required, that how much you are planning to deliver in the next 6 months?
Yeah, see, our trend which we wanted to reverse, but we couldn't significantly do it. Normally one third is H1 and two third is H2. And which we wanted to change this year, but I think we will change that next year. But this year seems to be going in the same trend, one third and two third. So that's a simple calculation for you.
Okay. And then this regarding this NTPC order, when it's going to start deliver and like what is the last date for delivery? Last month or it's
NTPC order is completely supplies. There are different contracts. Supply contract is expected to be completed within, I think, 17 months from the NTP. NTP has already started. Actual supplies would commence probably by end of this quarter, but significantly, mainly it starts from quarter four onwards. But some supplies likely to happen towards the end of Q3.
So, sir, do we have any this penalty clause? Because suppose now we are carrying 5.1 gigawatt, so there is definitely some fixed cost associated because you are hiring manpower, you are building your organization, and so on. But suppose if the client is not ready, their lands are not ready, this project not ready, so we are carrying some hidden fixed cost. So are you levying some penalty or LD charges on the client also there because of your delay? Like, I am carrying this much of stock, or like my inventory is getting built up, my workable is built up. So how are you addressing this point?
Yeah, I wish you were on the client side to accept this sort of terms. Unfortunately, yes, we can, not a penalty type of a thing, but we can have some different clauses. But at the end of the day, you know, it doesn't go such a way.
You can say claim. Like you, I'm going to say claim. Like, you can put it a claim. I'm not saying penalty, like you can put a contractor claim.
Yeah, you know, logically you're right, sir, but in practicality, it doesn't happen to that way. No, let me not say that, you know, we will get that. We can put a claim, but, you know, at least we're not operating in that manner.
But sir, at least you should be able to take some like brownie points from this. At least like there must be some obligation on the client that, okay, that guys, you have delayed so much, but we are not charging anything, we are not raising any claims, so that at least in the next like a time ordering or something, we get the preference to get the repeat order. Some sort of relation must be there.
Today, sometime back, when Sudhanshu was asking about competition, when I said that there is a competition, but we, our own specific advantage is this of the long-term relationship with our clients. Most of our clients are repeat clients. Most of our clients, and many of them are third-time, fourth-time clients. So I think, we believe in building long-term relationships. That's the reason, you know, irrespective of the competition, some of the clients would always remain with us. So I think that's what we're investing in. You're right.
Sorry to interrupt.
Sir, my last question is just
sorry to interrupt. Sir, there are many other participants waiting for their turn. I'm so sorry. If you want to ask a follow-up question, you can rejoin the queue. The next question comes from Dilip, who's an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you for giving me a chance to, you know, interact with Suzlon management. I have been seeing this Suzlon company for a very long time because of whatever the reason, last many years I know about this company. It's very good to hear that it has come out, everything that is doing very well. One thing which is bothering me, that equity, you know, share capital equity has fallen off quite a lot from time to time, just because of many reasons. That reasons are known to everybody. So my question to the management would be, is there any thought process from the management side that if they would like to, you know, consolidate that equity capital, it is now from 2,713 crore. If that can be consolidated, then probably that EPS and other numbers would be looking much better, or it can come back to its original, say, for Suzlon was, you know, many years back.
क्या करना चाहिए दिलीप जी, आप लोग ही बताइए. सो यू नो, सो ऑब्वियसली ऑन अ दैट इज लाइटर नोट, बट यू आर नो इम्पेंडिंग सच थॉट्स. ऑब्वियसली यू नो, वी कीप डेलिब्रेटिंग टाइम टू टाइम सच आइडियाज एंड थॉट्स एंड डिस्कशंस, बट करंटली देर इज नो सच प्लान. एज पार्ट ऑफ द बोर्ड रिलीज टूडे, यू वुड हैव सीन दैट वी आर लुकिंग एट रीऑर्गेनाइजिंग द बैलेंस शीट. देर आर क्वाइट अ फ्यू लेगेसी रिजर्व एंड यू नो नेगेटिव आइटम्स दैट आर देर इन द बैलेंस शीट. सो वी आर the board has approved the cleanup of that. So all that will take about 6 to 7 months as a process. So our endeavor is to present a neat, lean, clean balance sheet to the investors going forward. What you suggested is, of course, certainly an idea that the management can pursue, but there are no current thoughts to do any of that.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we would take that as our last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you very much. And of course, this doesn't stop here, the Q&A. So our IR team is always available for any further questions. Not just that you know, at any point of time that there is a need for to touch base with me or Himanshu, we're always available for any type of exercise. Most welcome to go. And thank you so much for showing your interest and making it very, very interactive. Thank you, and very happy. Wish you a very, very happy Diwali to all of us, to you. God bless all of us. Thank you.
Thank you. Happy Diwali.
Thank you so much, members of the management. On behalf of Suzlon Energy Limited, thank you for logging on into the Suzlon Investor Call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.